Joseph Tuadros moved to Australia from Egypt when he was 2. He's only 24 now. Tuadros has explored diverse ways of expanding the role of the oud as an instrument in Australian society. His biggest tour in Australia has been with the ACO in 2006, and Richard Tognetti said this about him. From the first few notes of hearing Joseph, one is astonished by his musical depth and stunning technique. I'm joined by Joseph Tuadros on the line. Welcome, Joseph. There's some high praise from Richard Tognetti.
Yeah, he's good. He's a good guy. So it's really an honour to have something said about you like that. It's something really special to play with an orchestra, and especially an orchestra of the calibre of the Australian Chamber Orchestra backing you up. You know, it's such a great experience and definitely one of my highlights. Last October, I did a surf tour with them with the same repertoire. So we went to the surfing capital, places like Noosa, Bellingen, Coffs Harbour, Port Macquarie, and basically Richard would surf in the morning with all these surfing guys and then play a concert at night. So that was pretty cool. And for some reason, they think my music goes with surfing, so that's pretty cool. I wouldn't call myself a surfer, but...
Did you go out on the board?
No, they tried to get me out on the boards, but no, I declined. I'm not a big surfer, actually. maybe one day.
You're keen on developing the role of the oud in Australian society. It sounds like that was an opportunity to do that, along with the ACO subscription tour. How do you reckon the audiences handled that?
They really enjoyed it. I think, I know I'm a bit biased, but I think the oud's such a great instrument, and it's quite a magical instrument. It does have a magic to it that I think when people listen to it, they start to understand where the culture comes from and the music, and a lot of it's improvised as well. The great thing was that each piece that we played did have an element of improvisation, so each show was totally different, and I think that's what Western audiences like, knowing the fact that the music that is played on the night is not going to be recreated in that exact form again. And I mean, not like similarity, but actually totally different, and that's why I think it really works. And in fact, the audience members could come back the next night and get a different show. So that's a great thing about the repertoire, and I think that's a thing that Western audiences enjoy.
Can you specify anything about what you call the magic of the oud?
Well, I think the sound, and the sound of the oud is quite deep. It's not like a guitar. It's a plucked instrument. It's basically the ancestor of the Western lute, and then the lute became the guitar, so it spread around Europe. Basically, the oud was brought to Spain in the 9th century, and that became the lute. And the magic is the sound. It's in double courses, so it's quite a deep, bassy sound, much deeper than the guitar. And it's a fretless fingerboard, which means that you can add so much more expression than a fingerboard that's got frets on it. And it's quite rare to have a plucked instrument without frets. And so you have this amazing way of expression, and it really can sound happy and can sound really melancholic and really sound like someone's crying. So it's a really beautiful instrument, and I think something that connects with listeners.
So you've got an electric instrument with two acoustic instruments?
Yep.
In the trio, and this is the first time the trio's been at WOM Adelaide.
Yeah. Well, Ben's amazing. He comes from a funk jazz background. The way he just melts into the music. What I try and do when I collaborate, I'm really selective with the musicians I choose. I choose musicians who are open to learning and understanding about Egyptian music, and I want to learn from where they're coming from. And when that happens, you really get a really beautiful fusion. Rather than having, I'm not too big of a fan of this fusion where you get two people from two different cultures that really aren't going to learn from each other's culture and just play their own stuff. So you get this kind of two languages speaking at once, and it kind of doesn't work. Whereas what I try and do is try and create a language in itself. So we all try and contribute to one language and not make it too foreign for anyone's ears. Make it rather a general music that people will enjoy wherever they come from. So that's my take on it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that requires a bit of flexibility around the edges, especially with improvisation.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because I've been playing, and we've all really been playing with all sorts of different artists, and being in Australia, actually, with all this real great option of meeting and, you know, playing with some people from all different backgrounds and cultures. And we're really blessed to have a really high caliber of musicians from different places. And I'm very lucky to play with a lot of the people that are here, because they're absolutely amazing. And, yeah, you got to have that. I'm definitely willing to learn off them and learn where they're coming from and learn about their music and culture. And it also comes from listening to a lot of varied music.
Look, speaking of learning, you've raised the profile of instruments like the oud and Egyptian violin, and I guess your brother with the rec.
Yep.
Have you noticed that there are more people taking an interest in learning these traditional instruments in Australia?
I think so. I think the oud is at a really good position at the moment, because a lot of people are getting into it. It's almost like when Ravi Shankar played the sitar with the Beatles. There always seemed to be this massive interest in the sitar. But,
hang on, you weren't around then.
Hey, I heard it. I've seen movies.
Okay.
Hey, movies are great. No, but you know, you have that thing of that's when really the sitar was the known instrument in the West, when you have things like that. And I think now with all sorts of collaborations, but collaborations, as I said, done in good taste, really attract people, which is great. My brother James and I have been playing with the Gregorian brothers, Slava and Leonard Gregorian, on guitar. We've had the Band of Brothers. So we called it the Band of Brothers, and that's been going really well, and there's a really big interest in that. And I think whenever you collaborate and bring something new, people want to hear something new and they want to hear something with the tradition. And so we're trying to get that happening. But I should say that I'm doing it because I'm having a lot of fun. It's not like I sit down and go, okay, this works great and for the audience. It's really, you know, this is what I like and this is what James and I enjoy, and look, we're going to play it for you, and we hope you like it, really. To get back on the question of people learning it, I've actually got approached by, I have a few students now that are learning, and funnily enough, they're ex-guitarists. They kind of left the guitar and got onto the oud, which is really nice to see, and they are quite dedicated.
So the traditional instruments that you're teaching them, when they're buying instruments, are they imported from Egypt or made here?
To get a really good instrument and a substantial instrument to play on, you'd have to get them from Egypt or anywhere in the Middle East, but a well-known maker or something like that.
And is there the same cachet about ouds as there is with violins in terms of their history, heritage and value?
Value is not so much. There is a specific brand which is it's kind of considered the Stradivarius of the oud world, which are called Nahat. N-A-H-A-T, but, you know, oud has come so far, and there's been so many innovations and things that I think it's almost better getting a modern instrument, and especially with the neck as well. Now they have a raised fingerboard rather than the neck usually being joined at the body, which causes problems. This raised fingerboard really came in from about the 70s onwards, so, yeah, it's probably better to have a modern instrument.
Well, will there be frets and pickups next? Or?
Well, no frets, but pickups, yes. Actually, funnily enough, you should say that. I was approached last year by a famous oud maker to make a signature series, which we did.
So there are some made in Australia?
No, they're made in Istanbul. Actually, okay. I had to go to Istanbul, and I've got my mother-of-pearl logo on the fingerboard, and it actually does have a pickup.